So now we're going to talk about cookies and sessions. So now we kind of move from code hacking to understanding the Hypertext Transport Protocol even more. So of course, this is all copyright Creative Commons, like usual. So when the web first came out, it was pretty cool. It was mostly really simple things like a form, forms for searching things, a lot of public information. So if you think back to the Stanford database, the Slack database, that was just public stuff that everyone could see. The early FedEx web servers with just a nice form there that you'd type a FedEx tracking number and it would show you where the tracking is. You'd go to a weather site. Everything was like free and open to everybody, and we only put stuff up on the internet that, you know, was public. And so, and again, when Tim and Robert invented this thing, they were trying to write documentation that was free, open documentation that was available to everyone because it's just physics papers, which they were just making available to everybody. So they didn't build into HTML and HTTP the notion of a login. They really had no way in the earliest of days of any sense of who you were, because everyone was the same. We were all consuming. It was very much a read. The gopher era that came before the internet era was simply a bunch of documents that you could look through. And, you know, that's all we thought about, of open, free stuff. But it didn't take long, you know, less than a year, before people go like, wait a sec, we got to be able to log in. We want to create applications that know who people are. And traditionally, when we had old computers before the World Wide Web, we would maintain a connection permanently to those computers, and that's how you would know who was logged in. Each of us would have a different connection. We would stay connected all the time. And when we typed something, it would come in our connection, and that would know that was us. And that's how we worked with computers that needed to know our identity. The problem with the web is that you have an application. It gets a GET request. So far in all your small applications that you've been writing, it's running on your desktop and it's the same human. It's you, the writer of the code, and you, the consumer of it. But if you think of CTools, there's literally often mid-afternoon 10,000 different people running on CTools. And it's obvious, I guess, but CTools needs to know which browser of your browsers is you so that when it gets a GET request, it does not have a connection to your browser. You can put up a CTools page, you can wait 40 minutes, and then click again, and it somehow knows exactly who you were. So the solution to this, technically, was a thing called cookies. And the server-side part of cookies is called sessions. So each of your browsers has a mark inside of it as to who you are. The mark that's been set in each of your browsers has been set by whatever software you're using it. And you'll be a little scared when you first look at your cookies to realize how much information folks know about you. And so all these websites basically these days want to know who you are. They want you to log in, whether it's Flickr or CTools or whatever. And also websites seem to know who you were if you haven't logged in for days. Like Flickr knows who I am. I just go back to Flickr, it says, "Welcome back, Chuck." And I have had my computer off for several days. How does Flickr know who I am? Well, the way you see YouTube or Flickr or anything is you every once in a while go see a page and then hours later you click on something else and then it gives you the page back. And that's how you see it. But if you think of this from the point of view of the YouTube server, they're getting hundreds of thousands of clicks per second, and your click is just one in 100,000. And if you waited 30 minutes before clicks, you know, there's literally millions and millions and millions of clicks that have gone between your clicks. So YouTube has this basic problem, and that is which of those clicks are you and which of those clicks are other people. So it must match up the click with the user. Okay? So when a server's interacting with lots of users at the same time, it needs to know which user a particular request. It's seeing a sea of incoming requests in all kind of random order. And every one, it must have a mark on each request that tells it which browser this came from. So all the browsers looked identical. It didn't. It said, well, okay, I'm giving you this document, I'm giving you that document, and it didn't matter. But once we had information that was personal or owned by us or paid for by us or whatever, we had to come up with something better. And so they named this thing the cookie. And the idea of a cookie is that the server is allowed to store a limited, every web server on the planet is allowed to store a limited amount of information on your laptop. It's limited because otherwise they could fill your disk up. So they're only allowed to store some moderate amount of information, like 4,000 characters or 20,000 characters, but not like 50 megabytes of stuff. Okay? And so this is like a variable that the server can set on your laptop, and then the server gets back. Now, why did they name it a cookie? I wish that they named it a cookie because of the following story, but it's not true. So if you're familiar with the story of Hansel and Gretel, right? There's this witch that had a house made of gingerbread, and then she tricked the kids, and they got lost, and then they took food, and they dropped breadcrumbs, and then the breadcrumbs showed them the way back, but the birds ate the breadcrumbs. It's been a while. I think I got most of that right. So, of course, they failed, but the notion of somehow having a substance, a food substance used as a trail to get you back to where you want it to be, is kind of what a cookie is. That's not why they named it cookie. Or at least that's, they named it because there was a concept in Unix before that called the magic cookie. And so, but I think the Hansel and Gretel story is a far better reason. So I guess we could just edit Wikipedia and change the history, and then we'd be okay. Because then I would be happy, because the history would fit my preconceived notion of what the history should be. But again, it's little chunks of dough that they store in your browser and then they get back. Now you, as the little bird, are actually quite capable of destroying the cookie. So that's why the Hansel and Gretel thing works so well, because we'll be birds in a moment. So here's how it works. We've talked about the request response cycle, where you, the human, clicks on a link. We've sent a GET to the server. I hope you guys know this by now. And then a page comes back. The page that comes back has a little bit of extra stuff in it that you never see. It has a variable, a cookie variable. And so when the page comes back, it sets this cookie variable. And what does it usually set? It usually just picks a big random number. So it just marks your browser with some random number that it also remembers. Then what happens is the next time that you click on a page, in addition to all the data that's sent, the GET request, it also sends the cookie back. So the cookie stored in your browser, and then every time you go to that site, no matter whether it's a GET or a POST, the cookie goes back. Now, this is could be kind of dangerous. So they made it very, very clear from the beginning, from a security perspective, that the cookies are only sent back to the site that originally set the cookie. So part of your browser knows what site set the cookies, and then it sends them back to that site. So your cTools cookies get set by cTools and sent back to cTools. Your Gmail cookies get set by Gmail and sent back to Gmail. Your DrChuck.com cookies get set by DrChuck.com and get sent back to DrChuck.com. They all have an expiration date. Some of them last for years, and some of them last until you close your browser. The ones that last until you close your browser are called session cookies. because they're sort of more, so if you're talking about a bank, you generally set a session cookie, okay? And so CTools uses a session cookie, but Flickr, for example, things that seem to know you, when you log back in, when you stop your browser and start it up days later, those are using non-session cookies and that have your identity in them. So there's lots of ways to look at your cookies. The Firefox developer plugin, one of our favorite gadgets, has a whole bunch of cookie features. And other browsers have these things as well, plenty of things. You go into a cookie, just like right next to the CSS thing, you go into cookies, we can turn them off, we can look at the cookies, and we can edit the cookies. So let's play a little bit with cookies. Okay, so I'm going to go to CTools. So here's the first thing about cookies. Cookies' purpose is generally to track things like who you are when you log in. But the systems actually set the cookies more often as soon as they actually see you. So we're not even logged in yet, but CTools has already marked our browser with a little number, okay? So actually, I'm not even logged in yet, and so I can start taking a look at the cookies. So if I look at the cookies for, and what it's doing here is it's only showing me cookies for this that belong to CTools, right? If I go somewhere else, I'll see more CTools, okay? So we'll come back to this UTMA and UTMB and UTMC guys in a second. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay. This is the cookie. This JSession ID is the cookie that CTools chose. It, at first page, it says, here's a browser, and I've got no cookie in it. So I'm going to set one, JSession ID. So let's just say EEO2 is it. So what I want to do now, this is a session cookie, which means it expires at the end of the session. Let me cause the end of a session. I'm going to quit my browser. So I just quit Firefox. And now I'm going to start Firefox again. Start Firefox again. And I am going to go to CTools. And then I'm going to look at cookies again, and we'll get back to this UTMA crap in a second. You'll notice that I've got a JSession ID. It's got like, I've never seen this browser before in my life. I will pick a large random number, and I will set it in the browser. So this is data stored on my local computer. The session data is stored on my local computer, and because I stopped and started my browser, I got a whole new one. Because the cookies are sent to CTools. So now if I go and I refresh in CTools, if I just hit, I'm going to do a GET request to CTools, the cookies sent in, that all those cookies are sent to CTools now, and it goes like, oh, sweet, I already got a cookie, I don't have to change it. So the session ID doesn't change, because after the first page is displayed, the cookie's been set, the session ID has been set inside CTools. So now let's do this. Let me log into CTools. Okay, so now I am like a happily logged in dude, and I can go do stuff. And that's a GET request, and every time I'm logged in. I hope this next experiment's going to work. So every time I do a GET, it sends that session ID. So now what I'm going to do, so if you wanted to break into my account, you just need to take a real quick picture of this next screen. Because if you could change your session ID to this exact string, then your browser would send my cookie value in and you would become me. So, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to edit the cookie and I'm going to change some of the stuff. So remember, that's... Did I change it? Okay.
Does it look... start with a dash?
I don't think so. I started with a dash? Edit the cookie. How come it's not editing the cookie? Oh. it broke so fast it wasn't funny. That's what was happening. And then it was setting my session again. Okay. So you'll notice that CTools got angry. And the reason that CTools got angry was CTools is actually sending requests quietly in the background, that little list of people. That's how the little list of people updates. And so the moment I changed that cookie, CTools freaked out and say, I have no idea who you are. Get the heck out of here. Right? And I can do the same thing for Flickr. Right? I can go kill myself on Flickr. I mean, I could go destroy my login on Flickr. So if I go to... I guess I'm not logged into Flickr anymore. Let's see. What other site knows me? YouTube knows me. Oh, yeah, but not in Firefox. Okay, so hang on. I got to log in on Firefox. My YouTube account. Sure. No. Shoot. I think my YouTube account is this. Ah, shit. I don't even know my stupid YouTube account. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what would happen. It would say, hi, Chuck. And then I would close my browser and I open my browser up and say, hi, Chuck. But then I delete the cookie. It's like, who are you? Right? It would store a non-session cookie. It stores a non-session cookie to remember my identity. So if you recall on SIAL, there was this thing about Fire Sheep or Sheep Watch or whatever it was, right? So what that was talking about is the fact... What that was talking about is the fact that the reason cookies work is that every page you send sends a cookie with it. Every time you do a send request to any page on the web that you log into, your cookie goes in. So Facebook seems to know you all the time, right? You don't have to log into Facebook. You can start and stop your browsers and you're always logged in. So that says that there is some cookie sitting on your computer that is fully your identity. Meaning if you send that cookie, that's you. It's some, we can look at mine. Except, oh, I do know my Facebook account, so that's cool. I do know my Facebook account. Password. Because I have two Facebooks. I have two Facebook accounts. I have to switch back and forth between them all the time. So let's rip off my Facebook account. And let's hack my Facebook account. Ooh, this is going to be even cooler. Keep me logged in. Come to Daddy. What? is going on here? Oh, it's so much better if I can do it in Firefox.
Maybe someone's intercepting your login.
Yeah, already.
Yeah.
What's my account? Don't tell me. Fiddlesticks. Who knows? Maybe there's something set up that it's ticking it off. Crap. It's harder for me to do it in... Well, let me do it... Maybe I shouldn't log myself out, though. Because apparently I don't know how to log myself in anymore. Okay, well maybe during the break I'll figure out why my stupid Facebook's not working. Okay, so we can hack these cookies. So at a low level, what's going on is this request response cycle that we love and know and is the heart and soul of this course. And so we have this request response cycle where you click on something and you send a GET request, right? And then web server does something and send the response. Well, to add cookies to this picture, okay, there's actually, you know, I've been a little oversimplified in what the GET response is. You can actually send, that your browser can actually send additional information, like what kind of browser you have and, you know, various other things can be sent on this GET request, okay? And so there's some header, there's some additional metadata about the GET request that can be done. So when we do our initial GET, the web server checks to see if it's gotten a cookie. There is no cookie that's been sent, and so it sends back in addition to the text, some headers. So here's your text, and then there's some headers. And one of the header is the set cookie header. And so it's coming from our host, and so somewhere in our browser, it remembers that host set a cookie named session ID to 123, okay? And at that point, your browser just stores all this stuff. But the next time you click on the next GET request, it includes, in addition to what document you want and other stuff, what cookies are being sent. And so it pulls out the cookies. It knows what host you're sending it to, so it only sends the cookies that are marked for that host. But then it sends all the cookies that are stored for that host. Now the host, if it wants, can set more cookies. It can set it kind of as many as it wants up to a certain size limit. So each of these are like a variable. So it's a host variable that's stored on your browser. So it can set, on the next request, it could say, let's say I want a cookie variable named name to be equal to Chuck. And now my browser has got to store two cookies. And when the next request goes in, it will send both cookies back in. So it kind of gathers up all the cookies that the host has ever set and sends them back in. Any questions? Okay. We only send cookies back to the host that originally set them. The browser has lots of cookies for lots of hosts. So if I were to go to, we could see all my Firefox cookies. It's a different place in, in Safari, it's a different place. show cookies. So this is always dangerous. Okay, so Facebook.com has about 15 cookies for me. It has, see, it made up these variables. All these variables are made up by Facebook. Locale, for example, the fact that I speak English, it knows that. It's figured that out. Now, if I change my language, it will change this so that it knows it. My, I don't know what this SID is or C user, but some of these things are probably variables that correspond to internal Facebook data structures as to who I am. And if I was to sort of start blasting these things, eventually my Facebook account would log me out. And now if I can't show you. I would like to show you. Okay, let me, I know I can show it to you on CTools because I guess I know my CTools password. So I'll get logged in. So I'm logged in. So now when I turn Firebug on and I hit refresh. So this is this thing where it does, you know, I've got a get a portal, I get a CSS. These are the things that are in the portal, all these GIFs and CSSs. If I look at this and I look at get a portal, you can see all of the headers that were sent as part of the get request. Right here. So these were sent by my browser as part of the get. And you can see it's sending all of the cookies. They have whatever. If you could send this same CRUD from your browser, then you could assume my identity, basically. Because it would not know the difference between my browser and your browser. And then, I don't know if we'll see anything in the response. Yeah, the response headers don't have any cookie sets in them because CTools in this particular request has all the cookie set that it wants. If I logged out, I might, well, I have to clear all my cookies. So let's try that. Let's clear all my cookies. Log out. I got to keep this up. See if I can detect the setting of my cookie. So I'm going to say cookies, clear session cookies, and then I'm going to hit refresh. So that should trigger the first get to CTools. So on this get of slash portal now, if I've done everything right, you see a set cookie. Okay? So this was CTools seeing me for the first time with no cookie set in my browser, and it says, I'm going to set a cookie in you right there. Now, we won't see that on successive requests because, as a matter of fact, there was another get request right away, this CSS. You'll notice it. My browser sent the cookies in, and the server said, groovy, I've got one of these J session ID cookies, which is what I need, so I'm not going to set any more cookies. So it only does that on the first request response cycle, and then your browser feeds them back in. And again, what they were doing basically in that fire sheep or whatever it was sniffing your packets on a wireless network, grabbing this blob of junk, and then sending it from their browser. And that's how they could just go onto anybody's Facebook. Because if you're sitting on an unsecured wireless network, those cookies in plain text are flying back and forth. And that's what everybody was so like freaked out about. It just means use a secured wireless network. And if you're sending them across HTTPS, then it's not a problem. And you'll notice in CTools, our login is always HTTPS, which means that someone monitoring the packets could not see the cookies going by. And they're grouchy about Facebook. And so now, the key to Facebook here is Oops. It's not just the login screen, because your cookie information is being sent on every request. And since that's an HTTP request, your Facebook cookies get sent in unencrypted text across your network. And so that's what people are pissed about. If Facebook made everything HTTPS, everyone would be much happier. And so that's part of what that SIL snarking was about. You know, why don't they use HTTP? Can you say HTTPS? Look at that. And each of those requests is sending the whole cookie right along, right? Every request sends the entire cookie that for Facebook is fully your entire credential, basically. And that's why it was so easy for them to write that little fire snorter or whatever it was. Okay. Okay, so your task is to use cookies and sessions in this assignment to support login and logout. Okay, so one thing you'll notice about the application that I wrote before this lecture was you could log in an infinite number of times and there was no option to log out because all we were really doing is playing a guessing game. There was no data, there was no state change. So now we have to do cookies. So we're going to implement this login, logout. And so I've talked to you on the cookie side. Now I've got to talk to you about what's going on inside the server. So the cookie side is simple. Server wakes up. It did not receive a cookie. First request, pick random number, send cookie. Then your browser dutifully sends that number back every time until either you log out or you drop your browser or you clear your cookies. So what we call these things inside the server, the kind of server data structure that corresponds to cookies in the browser, is a session. And the session is kind of a little bit of stuff inside the server's memory that keeps track of who you are, what you're doing, and a tiny bit of information about you. So when that server is sending you a cookie, actually before it sent you that cookie, it created what it calls a session inside of itself. That session has a large random number, and then it uses the cookie. The cookie it sends you is the number that corresponds to that session. So the number is a session ID, and that's why the cookie in cTools is called jSessionID. jSessionID has got a J in it because it's written in Java. A PHP application would probably set your session cookie to, let's see what it would do. What's a good PHP application that I've got that... Oh, yeah. This is a good one. I should have used this one in the first place because I know this password too. Yeah, I do. Okay, so I'm gonna clear all my session cookies, and then I'm gonna hit refresh on this. Okay, so if I look, oh, they changed it. It's PHP session ID and by default, but they've changed it for Moodle. But okay, so that wasn't so interesting. But it set the cookie right away. Okay, never mind, Chuck. Test these demos before you start class. Okay, so a session identifier is this large random number. And everybody uses the same pattern. The random numbers have different sort of lengths or whatevers. But basically, it's the kind of thing where if it's a 200-character random number, it's really difficult to guess. But frankly, if I could guess the random numbers on your computers, I could log it on your bank account pretty easy. Right? So this number is used to pick from the many sessions. So the server has lots of sessions. So if there's 10,000 people logged into cTools at any given minute, there's 10,000 sessions. Each of them has a session identifier, large random number, and that session identifier is stored in one and only one browser, and that's how the server reconnects each session on each request response cycle. So here's sort of a picture of how it goes. When you connect first to the server, it detects that you have no session. So it creates a session and gives that session a number. In my example, I've got 97 as the session. And then it creates a page, but on that page as well, as a side effect of the login page or whatever coming back, it sets a cookie variable. So the cookie sits in the browser now. On the first request, it didn't send a cookie. Make new session, send back page, and inform the browser what this number is. The server picked the number. The browser did not pick the number. But then the browser ends up storing the number on behalf. Cookies are like server variables that are stored in the browser. So then what happens is you sit. Hours go by. Server's doing many things. Other people are using it. You've got this browser with a login screen sitting there and a cookie that's set and a session that's in the server. Now in CTools, that session lasts for an hour. So if you do absolutely no activity, that session will vanish and it'll make you log in again. Well, actually, you haven't even logged in yet. So those things do have a finite life in most servers. They last an hour or two or whatever, but they'll throw that stuff away after a while. But so let's just say we wait a minute. We're not doing any network activity. There's no connection, but there's a little bit of data sitting up in CTools or in Facebook or whatever that it has this session number 97 and a cookie number 97 in your browser. So you finally sort of type in your cookie. I mean, you type in your ID and your password, and then you click your ID and your password, and that data, your form data is sent to the server and your cookie data is sent to the server. So when you're logging in, your cookie goes in, your ID and your password goes in, and the first thing the server does is checks to see if there is a session with the same number as your cookie number. And if there is, then it's your session and it makes the connection. And then what it does, it says, okay, I've got a session now. So it first has to, the first step is establish a session by looking at the cookie value, and then it runs your login code. And this is the code I talked to you, you know, at the beginning of this lecture. And if the password is right, then what it does is it actually sets who the logged in user is in the session. So it sets a session variable, user equals Phil. So you are Phil, you gave Phil's password, and so now inside the session, user is Phil. And now it sends back a response, says, welcome Phil, welcome back. It's been a while. And so now your browser is just sitting here. Your browser has a cookie, the session exists, and has a variable user equals Phil. Now there's a reason why we don't put user equals Phil inside the browser as a cookie, but instead in the session. Could you imagine why we don't store the current logged in user as a cookie? Yeah, but there's an even worse reason. It does get sent back and forth every time. Let's say CTools stored the current logged in user as CSEV. So my browser had a cookie named current logged in user, and it was named CSEV, and it trusted that. So anytime it saw a cookie that said user equals CSEV, it said that must be CSEV. Yeah. Well, no, you could just know what my name is and change your cookie to be CSEV, and then you'd be me, right? So you have to realize that the users can't change what's in the session, but the users can change every cookie. You just saw me changing cookies, right? So you don't put private sensitive information in the cookie. You don't put trusted information in the cookie. You never trust the cookie. We barely trust the cookie to look up the session. Sensitive data must be put in the session. So we can put other stuff in this session as well. So here's an example where we have a couple of people logged in. We got Chuck and Jan both logged in. Chuck is got session 10 and his cookie for the session is 10. And Jan is on browser B and her cookie is 46. And Chuck has a $1,000 balance and Jan has a $400 balance. And we have a little bit of code That is the withdrawal code that subtracts the $100 from your balance. And so, again, think of this as there's 10,000 people all with different cookies in their browsers, and somebody clicks the withdraw button. It's Jan that clicks the withdraw button. So the server gets a request that has cookie equals 46 on it. So it goes and grabs session 46 as its first step and then runs the withdraw code. So the withdraw code subtracts, my numbers aren't quite right, I gotta fix it. Subtracts $100 from Jan's balance and sends the response. And so sensitive data ends up in the session, and the only thing really that we end up in the browser is the thing to look up the session. Now, stuff like Facebook puts more stuff in the entire credentials end up there, which means you could come into my computer, rip off my Facebook cookie, cut and paste it into yours, and you would simply be logged into Facebook as me. As a matter of fact, I could probably, I'd have to work a little harder. But if I could copy all the Facebook cookies from my Safari to my Firefox, I would just be logged in on Firefox. It would take me a few minutes. Okay. So at a high level, the web is stateless. The browser does not maintain a connection. When you're just sitting there staring at your screen, it is not connected to YouTube. You may never come back to that server ever again. So we need a way for servers to mark each of your browsers as different. Your view of the world is you click and think and click and think, but YouTube sees that as a ton of streaming clicks, but it needs to be able to mark the browser so it can kind of match up who's who and what's what. And so we create this notion of a cookie where we mark the browsers. Each browser is given a different number. The server stores a simple small data structure called the session that is indexed by that number that's in the cookie, and that way the server can reestablish that it's actually you on every request response cycle.